today's episode is sponsored by our premium Patreon subscribers, Madonna Hines with a Sexy J, Chrissy Dougherty, and Mia Hansen Aloha. Thanks.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from bsideblog.com and the Banter Blender podcast. And joining me is the hilarious and wonderful and ever so gentle Ronnie Karam from trashtalktv.com and the Rose Pricks Bachelor podcast and Real Housewives of Beverly Hills audiobooks. What's up, Ronnie?
The only time anybody has ever said gentle to me is when I'm holding a baby. They're like, gentle, gentle,
gentle. I find you very gentle. Very
I
gentle.
I love you.
You know, it's appropriate that you do a Real Housewives of Beverly It's appropriate you do a Real Housewives of Beverly Hills audiobook thing because that's what we're here to talk about today, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And by the way, if you're new to this podcast, we are 5 days a week, and on Mondays we do Top Chef in Atlanta, although we may move Atlanta to Thursdays because we have an opening on Thursdays. On Tuesdays, we do Vanderpump Rules. Wednesdays is Beverly Hills. Thursdays is going to be Married to Medicine until the reunions are over, at which point Atlanta's probably going to take over. And Fridays is Summer House. So come on board to the party.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to decide where to put Sweet Home Oklahoma.
I know. Well, that might be – we'll see. Everyone just stay
tuned.
Oh,
we are watching. We are watching that.
Oh, no. I'm sent – we'll see on which day it's going to go.
Oh, yeah, we got to watch it. I mean, fat people on TV. I'm so excited.
I'm excited.
And thank you, Bravo gods. Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry, I'm a little hyped up on my Tiago coffee. Today is a Tiago day, not a Starbucks day. So
no, I'm actually having a Starbucks day instead of a homemade coffee day.
Ooh.
And Starbucks is a pussy. There, I said it. I don't feel anything. I feel like totally just normal. I mean, I feel like I've had some chocolate, which is good.
Yeah.
I actually fit 2 likes in that one sentence.
That's really impressive, although some of us like to fit about 4 or 5 likes into their sentences, so.
I love a like.
This Tiago coffee is jet fuel, so I'm going to be off the walls. By the way, how was your Valentine's Day before we get into Beverly Hills?
Oh, it was amazing. Masturbation. What a path in life, man. Thanks for asking. Actually, I went outside to smoke a cigarette, and I was like, whatever. This is stupid, but I can't complain because I don't make an effort, you know? So I was like, I'm just going to enjoy myself. So I was sitting on my stoop smoking a cigarette, and the couple across the way came out of their apartment and just were making out right on their stoop, and I'm like smoking in their faces. And at first I was like, this is awkward and I feel terrible. And then I just blew harder. I was like, fuck you guys. Here's your face cancer from my cigarette smoke. Hope you enjoy it.
Were you using a vape? Because you know, when you have a vape pen, you can just like blow like a waft of smoke that seems like it's coming out of a smokestack. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. No, I was smoking an actual real-life cigarette.
I mean, I wish we were actually smoking like a pipe, like an old English gentleman.
You know what? That's coming.
It's coming. Next time you see some lovers on Valentine's Day, they're going to get some beautiful aromatic smoke that'll remind them of olden days.
How about you, Ben?
You know, we had a very lovely Valentine's Day. My boyfriend and I, after we recorded this podcast, we went to a spa, got massages and stuff. And then we went out to dinner. And then in the most romantic way ever, we watched old episodes of SNL on CISO.
Oh, that's how to do it. CISO.
I know. CISO, well, you know, so CISO is one of our sponsors. And this is not like I'm not about to launch into a written ad, but CISO is one of our sponsors. So I've been really exploring it. And they have all these old, I'm a big SNL junkie. So the fact that they have all these old episodes of SNL is like really, that is like the best Valentine's Day gift you could get for a man, for me.
Yeah, that's actually a really good thing to be advertising with us because it's good comedy. So if you guys want a channel, I mean, you can put it on any of your stuff to watch on your big TV. Just go sign up at CISO. It's so good. And it's like $4 a month. It's cheap.
Yeah, I have it. I'm totally up and subscribed. It's on my streaming portfolio. Yeah, everyone should do that because we have a promo code. So go to Crappins is the promo code. So everyone should use that, you know.
Yeah, CISO.
Yeah, CISO. Give love to our sponsor.
Laugh a little, guys. Laugh a little.
Laugh a little. And you must remember one thing, that if you can't remember that one thing, just deny, like Lisa Rinna.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lisa. We know we love Lisa Rinna around here, but man, did she step in it this episode. She stepped in it, and then she stepped in it again, and she rubbed her foot around, and then she walked around and left little track marks, and then she went to try to erase the track marks by putting her foot in the track marks to sort of to wipe them away, but then she turned the track marks into one big streak. I mean, she was in it.
She was, and I kind of like Lisa Rinna a little more when she's stepping in it. I like Lisa Rinna on the defense and not really understanding what's going on. Yeah. I don't like when Lisa Rinna's like, oh, I'm so happy. Everything's great. Where's the rolling pin? Like, I don't need that. I need, like, crazy Lisa Rinna. Because part of me, I think this is the first time that it's ever happened where someone's like, I forgot. Where I'm like, this bitch probably did forget.
Yeah, I know. I was like, I actually was, at a certain point, I was like, I think she might have. But, I mean, this to me is my favorite aspects of a Real Housewives show or any reality ensemble show, which is, you know, the slow build. I mean, God, I'm a broken record, but, you know, I love a slow build. And then you get to that point where something controversial happens. It's a he said, she said moment, and all shit starts to happen, bust loose, fall apart. You know, all that stuff. Because now it's going to be a disaster. Now Rinna's going to go after Eden. Eden's going to, you know, do this or that. There's going to be, people are going to be getting onto sides. It's alliance building and all that fun stuff. This is what I live for.
And in typical Real Housewives of Beverly Hills mode, it's about nothing. I mean, it's about Kim being a drunk.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, but the whole world is talking about that. I don't think it's really that big of a deal to say. But they do. And she was talking behind Kim's back. And you promised you would never talk about Kim anymore. And how could you? Meanwhile, Kim's like, I'm coming down the stairs, guys. Like, give me about 20. Hey, I'm on a zippy line.
I don't think there has ever been a through line in reality show history like Kim Richards' sobriety. This has been, since season one, an ongoing theme in this show. Every central drama has come back to this. I guess there was the Yolanda thing last year, but even that seemed like it had, it seemed somehow related to Kim. I don't know how, but it was.
Kim probably bit her in the first place.
Yeah.
She probably got limes from Kim.
But it's kind of amazing. It's kind of amazing that there is a giant story arc with Kim Richards' sobriety over this entire series.
It is, and I don't even want to watch a season that's not about Kim's sobriety, because to me it's just hilarious. It's like the mystery that's already been solved and you're watching it backwards. Like,
it's Memento.
Yeah, Kim Richards is just she's an addict. Who cares? Let her be an addict, you know. As long as she's not running people down in the street or, you know, stealing carts of stuff from Target, you know, keep it within boundaries. But I don't give a shit.
I don't give a fuck. I think this is on par with, you know, Star Wars. This is, you know, Star Wars has now, what, like eight movies? The Jedi versus the Dark Side, whatever. you know.
And the any dark, movie the dark. That they try and make different without the original Kim Richards, like Rogue One. They're like, not the same.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I mean, and honestly, there are a lot of parallels between Kim Richards and Jar Jar Binks, so there's that. Lisa Rinna is essentially like a lady version of C-3PO. R2-D2 is, I don't know. I mean, actually, Rinna has a lot of R2-D2 in her, a lot of beeps and chirps.
She does, yeah. She's got a lot of Chewie in her, too. A lot
she
of.
Does. Like, she does. She does. She actually also has a lot of C-3PO. She sort of has a C-3PO stance at all times, you know? Like, hands up. She basically is the entire ensemble of Star Wars in one lady.
Oh, my God. This show is so hilarious to me. Yeah. You know, a sensible person, which, of course, a sensible person wouldn't be on the show, let's face it.
Right.
But let's face it. But a sensible person would have just said, I had a conversation with her. I was trying to get her to help Kim because any addict can have a relapse. And this was before the fight at, you know, game night. This was before game night. All of that
aired
stuff
afterwards.
I worked all. Oh, did it?
It aired afterwards, but it could have been shot before. We don't know.
No, because isn't that when she was saying that and then Eden was trying to butt in about Kim's stuff?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But I thought that's what it was.
No, but it aired after game night.
Oh, okay.
Like the next
thank
week.
God for you.
And when it happened, remember we both were like, oh, Rinna, don't say these things. It's going to come back to haunt you.
And here it is.
Yeah.
Really. So good. So let's start over at the beginning of the episode. Fat guy on a horse. I was like, this episode was made for me. It's like close up of a guy's gut going up and down on a horse. That's like me on my Vespa trying to go over Laurel Canyon. That's basically what it
was. Oh, man.
I'm like, ow, my face. When your own fat hits you in the face. That was me, that dude on the horse. I was like, it's so good to see myself represented on TV, Mexico. So we begin where we left off. These people are all in the pool. Did you notice that Kyle has a lazy Susan in the damn pool?
I noticed there was like it was like a circle, a big circle. I didn't realize it was a lazy Susan. And I mean, do you need a lazy Susan in a pool? Because isn't it buoyant? So can't you just sort of like rotate it on its own?
Yeah, I think it was that kind of lazy Susan, a floating lazy Susan.
Welcome to Watch What Crappens, the show where we shade people for their lazy Susan choices.
It's just so funny because
it's
Kyle.
What sort of bitch has a lazy Susan in the pool? You can just put anything in there and rotate it normally. Bitch.
Fucking idiot. Hey, how about getting an energetic Susan? Moron!
Maybe next time we'll call it a lazy Kyle.
How about a Susan with some goals in her life? Hey, girls.
Susan Lucci, that's a real soap star. She wasn't lazy at all. Am I right, Eileen?
I just love the idea of them showing that house and Maurizio being like, look, it's a waterfall in the bathroom. And look, it's a toilet seat on the bathroom that's made out of gold. And Kyle's like, there's a lazy Susan in the pool. So offers are open, guys.
Eden's touching the lazy Susan. I'm just not getting anything. As much as, you know, Susan, I want to like Susan, but as many times as I turn her around, I just don't get anything. Just sadness.
The more and more I turn her, the further and further the ketchup gets away from me.
And I just, all I wanted was the ketchup, and now everyone thinks I'm a troublemaker. I'm just trying to rotate the ketchup to me.
So Rinna comes in, and she's like, hi!
Hello?
Hi. Hi, everyone. Hi. 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 Hi.
I'm like, you're not in a parade right now.
I know. I half expected her to start singing Cabaret. Hi, how is everyone today? How is everyone? Okay, hit it. 3, 2, 1. It's a wonderful day in Mexico.
And Kyle is just now super pissed. And she's like, I just can't be nice. It feels awkward. It just does. But, so, you know, this is finally where we need Kyle. Kyle has had every episode to talk about her products and her husband's products and have a party for her husband's products and then another party. So this is good. We get Petty Kyle coming back.
Yeah, Petty Kyle. We like Petty Kyle a lot.
Yeah. So Erica seems like she's going to be with Rinna. She's like,
Lisa Rinna, hi. You know where your room is?
And Maury's like, just pick one. We don't care. Sleep wherever you want.
Just make sure you choose a room that has an agency pillow on it.
Make sure you don't sleep in the one with 2 full-size beds because that's for the people we don't want to think about fucking later.
Oh, Maury, you know, we'd like to have some sexist Maximus.
I would like, listen, Ricky, have I made that joke yet?
You know what we're like? Lucille Ball and Ricky Ricardo. Because they were 2 famous people who had a show in the 50s and they slept in different beds. Am I right, everyone? Look at my witchicisms. Everyone's like, yeah.
Is that PK?
Yeah, that was my PK. Sorry, everyone.
I like that your PK is like Garfield the cat.
You know what I'd like to do right now is get into a box and maybe have some lasagna.
Oh, good. So Vanderpump makes a little comment to her, to Kyle, because Rinna goes off to like schlep around this rental house and look for an empty room, you know,
yeah.
And nobody's helping her at all. And then Vanderpump's like, I feel bad, like a hypocrite. You know what I'm saying, darling?
She's like, there, it passed. It must have just been the margarita.
Oh, better now, darling. Better now. I'm better.
I felt like a hypocrite, but only because I said I did not want the ketchup, and now I do. Rotate, please.
At least we didn't drag it to Dubai for this, darling. Could have done this around camels.
Pass the salsa.
Consider yourself lucky, girl. Pass the salsa. Empanada.
Pass the... Oh, this is great research for Sir. Chef Penny, take notes.
So
Nacho chips.
So she is being kind of a hypocrite in a way, but I don't really see the difference. I see a huge difference because the way it happened last season when Rinna brought all that shit to Dubai and was like unloading it on the table, all of a sudden she's like, now remember Vanderpump when I said all that stuff about Munchausen, Limestonhausen, and then I left and you chased me over the bridge and you said, you're supposed to bring up Kyle. And she's like, no. There's a big difference in that because that was totally a secret that you had planned long before with Eileen. This
and
is legit something that we saw on camera Rinna do.
The other difference, too, is that that whole, you know, you walked over the bridge thing. There was like a question of perception, right? Isn't it possible that Vanderpump was saying, don't drag me into this, and you were taking it as, don't drag me into this. Like keep you do it, but keep me out. You know, whatever it was. We had that ongoing debate.
Yeah, her thing
was cut and dry.
Her defense was, darling, all I was saying was, I'm so glad I thought you were going to bring Kyle into this, and then you didn't. And she's like, no. I thought you were going to bring Kyle into this. So the things that these two issues do have in common is Kyle.
That's true. But the thing that they don't have in common was the other one was very ambiguous, and it felt like Rinna had really went after Lisa Vanderpump based on something that was not like a big deal and was like could be interpreted in many different ways and didn't really give her the benefit of the doubt. Whereas in this case, Rinna said stuff that was bad, and it was on camera, and it was just blatant. And the other thing is that it wasn't just like scattered amongst different conversations. It was one big conversation. So later on when she says she can't remember, it's not like, oh, well, I said something here, said something there. It was like you had a full on conversation where you said these things.
Yeah.
So it's bad.
Oh, another thing I think these two storylines have in common is that in both cases, Rinna was going on the offense for someone else. So in other words, last season, it was because Eileen could not get over Vanderpump. Like, she would not stop, and that's Rinna's best friend. And, you know, when you tell Rinna to do something, she just does it.
Yeah.
It's like, she's okay, good, like, I'll do it. We're like, Rinna, you're coming on the show. Okay, great. When? You know, like, she'll do whatever
Manchurian
you tell her.
She's a housewife.
Yeah, you just point her in a direction and press a button, and she just starts walking. And so I felt like Eileen had a lot to do with that last year, and she's almost trying to make Eileen happy. Because, you know, Eileen would pull that, well, she's just gotten away with so much. And, you know, here you are just trying to make everyone happy like you usually are and trying not to start a fight. And if you want to live that way, okay, Eileen, what do you want me to do? What am I saying? Show me where Vanderpump is. I'll get her. But this one is she's trying to impress Eden, you know? And she's like, I get the struggle, girl, because Kim's an addict too. And I understand that you want to help her addiction, because I did too. She's near death. She could be dead any moment.
Poor Rinna. She really is her own worst enemy. It's actually almost charming. Unless you're involved.
It's so funny to
But when she said that shit, it's like, Rinna, what are you doing? Why are you telling Eden Sassoon? Why are you going on camera? Why are you saying Kyle is an enabler and Kim is this close to death? I mean, I know that there probably is a way to interpret that where it's not as bad sounding as it sounds, but that's a very, very narrow, strict interpretation if you're going to go down that path. I would have to do mental gymnastics to really, like, say that, you know. I don't know how you could put a positive spin on that, how you could get yourself out of those words. Ugh, Rinna.
Well, you fight back with what they're fighting you with, right? So if I were Rinna, I would say, oh my God, I showed everyone my pills. Because, you know, that's going to come back to haunt her at some point, too.
Yeah.
So she could say, I had all those pills, and before you know it, I had so many five-hour energies that I had 37 hours of energies, which isn't even divisible by five. It was crazy! And then my mind started leaking. I think I'm an addict. I don't even know what I said. And then you start fighting with, I'm an addict, because they can't fight against that. They just say, oh, she's an addict, too, so now we can't fight with her.
Yeah. By the way, do you think that this is earning Eden Sassoon a spot on the show?
Nope.
Really? Because this is like the biggest drama of the season, and it's Eden is right in the middle of it. If anything, Dorit has almost simmered down a little bit. You know, Dorit has sort of become this vaguely pleasant lady, kooky lady on the side who just tries to make little witticisms like, oh, darling, are you feeling quite well right now? You look like a famished willow tree. You're like, okay.
I think it's not earning her a spot because they're cutting her out of everything. I mean, if you've noticed, the only times you see her are in group scenes and then in flashbacks. This was a perfect example. They showed two different flashback scenes of hers that we didn't see. So they're cutting her out of the show unless she's talking to...
Maybe like she was Rinna. Problematic for the production.
Yeah. Well, we saw her with the mom in this episode, which was amazing. So we saw that. But most of it, she's being cut out of. So
yeah. All right. I don't know. So back to the show, because we are so overstimulated by this episode, obviously. So now, basically, everyone goes off to this event for the agency, for the grand opening of the second office in Mexico for the agency. And it's like, agency bags, you know, all this. Oh, everyone's getting ready to go to this event, I should say. And when Lisa Rinna comes walking into the main room before they all go on their little cart down to the thing, Kyle can barely contain her rage. I mean, she has that look on her face, that classic Richards family pout or whatever you call it. Pucker.
Rage pout.
Yeah. Rage pout. Oh, man. It was great.
It was so good. And I also love, like, the color discussion. The show is, like, so weird with colors. Because someone's like, look, I'm wearing a pink dress. And she's like, don't you dare, darling. I'm like, oh, God. Fucking pink. The other storyline that won't end.
Pinky. It's my name.
And then Rinna was wearing a green dress and Kyle was wearing a red dress. And Kyle's like, oh, we look like Christmas. And I thought, oh, that's so sad for Kyle.
And for Christmas. So anyways, now they go down to the event. And I don't know if you noticed this, but they were pouring some really crazy colored drinks. I mean, very bright green, very bright pink. It was disarming. And also it matched those dresses. So I don't know what was up with that, but it bothered me.
They need them with Maury giving the speech. He's like the least charismatic person ever. He's like, I'd like to welcome you all to the agency party. I'm so passionate to bring people to Puta Dita. They're going to come back. They're coming back in droves. It's like, hey, why did the people of Puta need to leave? I need to know.
I was hoping that Vicky Gunvalson would come flying in on a zip line.
Caliente!
Like then we get a shot of Dorit with her coke eyes bugging out of her damn skull.
Yes.
I was like, well, Dorit may not have a job, but she knows how to find her shit wherever she goes. You got to love that girl. She's on like Craigslist.putanita.com or whatever. Like, Chene Cocos? Like, you go, girl.
So then it's like, fun times. We saw this really cute moment of Ken dancing with Kyle. Was he wearing? Did he have a sombrero on? I don't remember. You captured this and put on our Instagram.
Yeah, we have a gif of it. It's a sombrero and then his shirt buttoned down to his pubic line.
Yeah. He's like, I want to have a Mexican hat, but a Spanish open shirt.
I'm actually not doing salsa dancing, darling. There's just no walls to bounce off of, and I've got cat hair stuck in my rotor.
This is how you should dance with Duran Duran.
PK knows.
Does anybody know? How do you say boring Spanish? I forgot.
Caballero.
Anybody know Caballero Jorge? He lives with me.
Oh, Caballero. He loves his, how do you say Game of Thrones in Spanish? Game del Throno.
El chico del Jorge lives with me, everybody.
I loved Erica was having a blast. She's just yelling in the corner. Por favor, Margarita.
Erica's also all over everything, being the expert. She's being the little lady expert of this show. She's like,
whoa, look, it's a Gila monster. I recognize those from safaris in Africa. Where's the best safari lady fighting Gila monsters? Everybody talks about it. So good at it.
I don't think I've ever seen anyone as excited to see a Gila monster as Erica was. She was really, really, really excited. Didn't a Gila monster bite Sharon Stone's husband on the foot? I don't know. I swear to God, that's how that happened. Or maybe it was a Komodo dragon.
Hunting. I'm friends with Sharon, and her husband was hurt, so I hunted for that Gila monster until I found him! And that's when I was named the best Gila monster hunter in the world. Gila Hoa Hunter!
It was a Komodo dragon, and the reason why I know is I started doing a Google search of Sharon Stone husband, and the first thing that comes up, suggestion, is Sharon Stone husband dragon. Amazing to
I feel like that came up in Google before any of this even happened. Sharon Stone's just so crazy.
Anyway.
So Erica, speaking of Erica, she's wearing this dress, which I'm sure is Gumosa! Or like whatever, something super expensive, but it's got like glitter nipples on the outside. Which was just so distracting to me. It was like glitter boobs painted on the outside of her boobs. I was like, we know where they are. Is this supposed to be a diagram? What is this? What is this dress?
Maybe it was like a reference to that Mexican style of art. What do you call that? That Mexican
directions.
Style?
It looked like directions on like take home implants. You know, no. I'm like, here's how to put them in. It comes with a little L wrench.
What's the name of that Mexican pottery? A Talavera. I don't know.
Telenovela? Oh, how could you? Que emoción.
So, so in this one corner, Rinna and Erica and Eileen are talking about Delilah and how Delilah's walking with Gigi. Own it! Which is exciting. And then Eileen's like, I need some water. I'm having some intestinal woe. I'm like, look at you, leaning into your intestinal sadness. You learned your lesson well, Eileen.
I'm so proud of you for being able to tell people that. It's yes. Like, I just wanted to tell you how I'm feeling about my intestines right now. I was crying. So anyway, that would have listened to her still for.
You know, my therapist told me that it's okay for me to tell everyone that I want to shit all over this party right now.
She did try to make a little joke. She's like, I don't know what I've ever done to Montezuma that he would need to take this kind of revenge on me. Like, oh, Eileen. You're making an effort.
I just want Montezuma to give me an apology. That's all. I mean, now it's like a thing. You know what? I don't want to be the villain with Montezuma. I just want to know, like, why did you want to take revenge on me? Why couldn't we just, like, I don't know, just, like, talk it out. I just want an apology. That's all. Just, no, it's not a big thing. Just not a big deal.
If Montezuma would just say I'm sorry, he wouldn't need to have revenge. It would have been squashed.
You know what, baby? Montezuma is manipulating all of us.
So they had Eileen is saying that she had a vitamin drip with Eden this week.
He's complicated. I love that. I love when Eileen calls someone complicated. You know, it's just like, she's a fucking bitch.
Well, but Eileen's always trying. Eden is basically fighting the same fight that Eileen wants to, at least on the same side. So she's trying to make this work, you know, because poor Eileen, it's like, She never has enough people solidly on her side to make anything work properly. So she's going to try and make this thing with Eden work. And she's like, well, she's complicated. I think that she's just feeling that her poor sister, and then you know how I'm feeling about it. And they're like, anyway, about the walking. Eileen can never finish anything. And I love it.
Yeah. I did enjoy the flashback to Eden talking to Eileen, and Eden's basically like, Kyle is the problem. She has an attitude. Kyle's being for her sister. She's a fucking bitch. She's an addict too. They're all going to die in a car crash. I was like, whoa. So as they're starting to talk about this, Erica's like, Renault, I think you need to have a conversation with Kyle. She's like, whoa, baby. Why do I have to have a conversation? You just have to have a conversation. Don't shoot the messenger. I don't want to give up. You have to have a conversation with Kyle.
What did I do now?
I can't talk about it. I don't want to get all the way in there. But Eden has inserted herself. And then you've been inserted as well.
Hearing the word inserted spoken by Erica so many times makes me so uncomfortable.
I know. But she was smart. She was like, all right, let's get this show on the road. Have your fight already. I'm going to go look at the Gila monsters.
I'm not going to deliver the message, just the envelope. And to open the envelope, you need to go over there. Because if I was going to deliver the message, I'd be the best postal worker in Mexico. Everybody says so.
Hello, Newman.
So, Rina.
Sorry, that took me a second.
Hello, Newman.
So Rinna goes over to talk to Kyle, and Kyle just goes from, you know, smiley agency shill to bitch face. She's like, okay, I guess we're doing this. And I love how the moment, like, you know, Rinna's like, Kyle, I've been told I did something. What's going on? What did I do? And then the moment the two of them are together, all the other women just like come flocking around just to watch the madness ensue.
Vanderpump was especially funny at this part because she's over there talking to stupid Dorit.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, you know, the problem. I almost hit Erica. It's like, well, darling, the problem. Up to talking. Let's go.
Yeah. So Rinna, this is what. So Kyle basically tells Rinna what she's been hearing. And Rinna is full on caught. And just to emphasize how caught she is, the producers, of course, give a flashback, which they've been doing every single episode, of Rinna being like, Kyle's an enabler, and Kim is this close to death, and I will say that. And then they got back, and Rinna's like, I don't remember ever saying that. She literally said, I will say that.
Like, the problem I have here is that I could say that I said it, but I don't remember, so I don't want to admit to something I don't remember. So maybe it was a different way. Maybe I was talking about something else. It's like, no. Yeah, Rinna. Did you or did you not say, my sister is close to death and I'm an enabler? What? What?
Yeah,
what? And then she backs into a corner and she hides behind like a folded up round table that wasn't being used.
Yeah, it was. She literally, when Rinna was cornered, she was literally as caught in the corner as one could be. Yeah, she was. She could have been headlining, bringing the noise, bringing the funk, because bitch was tap dancing. She was. Oh my God. She was trying. And the thing was this. You could see all the things going through her head, like, because I truly think at that moment she was blindsided. I don't think she really could remember, and she was trying to remember, and then she was thinking, I probably did say that, but now how do I say I probably did say that, but I don't remember without seeming totally guilty, like I did say that without looking like I'm trying to cover up. So she's trying to stall. She doesn't want to outright deny it because she knows there's probably a good chance that she said it and it's on camera. So she's just trying. This is all happening within the span of 1 second. So all her face is going like, and her eyes are going left to right. And she's trying to figure out, okay, what's the right tone? How do I say this in a way where I'm not committed to something, but I don't seem shady? And, you know, she fully bungled it. It was great.
Yeah, hilariously. Oh, but it's such an odd fight because she said that stuff a million times. Not like it's the first time she said it. Kyle's heard it a million times. It's not the first time she's heard it. And they earlier in the season, she had been shown a clip. What if the producers did that? They were like, actually, Kyle, watch this clip from last season. But they showed a clip of Kyle saying, I mean, she could die. I mean, we're really worried about Kim. You know, I mean, my greatest fear is that she'll just die. It's not that any of this is a lie. It's just that she promised Kyle she would never talk about it again. And she
And the funny thing is,
like, immediately doing it.
I know. And the funny thing is that Kyle and Vanderpump were almost giving her,
you know, excuses. Like, hey, I mean, you know, like, you will say things in the moment, or we know you get fired up and you'll just sort of say crazy things, or, you know, it's possible you don't remember. And Rinna's like, And so then Rinna does, the only thing that Rinna can do at this moment is just push it all onto Eden. That's like, she needs a stall tactic. She needs to get the heat off of her. So
yeah,
it's just,
I had a very deep convo with Eden, because Eden's sister, and Vanderpump's like, oh, so you don't remember saying close to death? Come on, Rinna. Yeah, you'd remember that.
Vanderpump is so drunk at Vanderpump is so drunk at this point that she's literally holding on to some decorative thing hanging from the ceiling. Because if she lets go, she's just going to fall on the floor.
This was Lisa Vanderpump's, like, greatest moment in life. Yes. I mean, she was so excited.
And she didn't have to do anything. She didn't have to manipulate a single person for this to happen. Actually, no, she did. She did, because, well, in a way, I mean, she had to spread the gossip to get it to come. She was part of it. I take it back. And
oh, yeah, she had to tell Eden, yeah. Well, or she had to tell Kim, she had to tell Kyle that she heard it from Eden, yeah.
Right, exactly. But I guess she indirectly had a role in it, too, because everyone wants to be with Lisa Vanderpump. So that's why Eden went to Lisa Vanderpump, because she wanted to be on Team Vanderpump. Eden knew who was the star of the show.
Kind of, but she didn't go to her until after everybody else. It was like the last cast member she went to.
Well, it was when she realized at that party, at the Gatsby party, that she had aligned herself with the wrong people, because everyone hated her.
Yeah, so Vanderpump was kind of last stop on that train, but she's like, I'll take it.
But the best stop.
Do it. So let's see here.
So
you remember, Vanderpump just keeps hounding her and hounding her, and she's like, seems to me there's a case of selective memory. Hey, you want to own it? Well, own it! Own it! I mean, she was literally squealing with happiness.
She was. Like, she probably bought 10 piñatas down there in Mexico and brought them home to watch this episode. She's like, all right, everyone, celebration time. It's been in the steps in the shit. All right, piñatas afterwards. Rocio, here's a stick. So Rinna is trying to pass the buck on to Eden, and she's like, well, I think she was the one who brought up the fact that Eden had some crazy moment with Dorit, and she's like, wasn't Eden going crazy about Kim to you, Dorit? And Dorit's like, oh, no. And then they show a flashback, and it's like Eden just being like, Kim's a bitch. And Dorit's like, oh.
Dorit's like, yes, she did, actually. She said lots of bad things about Kim, which doesn't really help, because the point is that Rinna was the one who promised not to talk about it anymore. And then Eileen tries to jump in with her non-help. She's like, but her sister, and it's her responsibility, because her sister passed away, to not let anything slide by with anyone ever.
I'm leaning into my sadness.
And then Kyle does her usual, oh my God, these things can turn a fragile person broken. They can break a fragile person. This is what makes a person who's trying not to drink, drink.
Would you say that is an issue because she's close to death, Kyle? You're talking almost as if she's close to death.
That's how she's talking, you know? And that's kind of the point. It's like, if she's that fragile that she can't deal with Twitter, and she can't deal with people talking about her, and she can't do this and she can't do that, then stop bringing her on the damn show. I mean, you can't have it both ways.
Well, I like when... So Rinna's going after Eden, and she's like, I've tried to be so careful about my words. And Vanderpump... This is, again, another Vanderpump moment where she's just, like, jizzing on the inside. And she's like, oh, come on, Rinna. What do you remember what you said about the arrest at game night? Come on, Rinna. And they show a flashback of him. What about the arrest? I'm like, well, Vanderpump kind of got you again. Like, this is just a terrible episode. I've never seen... Rinna just lost this episode. It was a total defeat.
Vanderpump, you know, Vanderpump doesn't come out yelling often.
She doesn't. She was really...
It's very rare. But she was so excited. And this is another time. I bet she's squealing mad because she squealed again. She goes, Get up!
Yeah. She lost her cool. It was actually shocking. She's never yelled, actually, I think.
It was so funny. She squealed mad. And then Rinna's like, you know what, Lisa Vanderpump? You are right. You are right. Absolutely. Yes, you are correct. Absolutely correct. You are right. You win the prize. It's the final round. Wait, hold on. Ah, you got it right again. Who wants to be a millionaire? You do. And you are a millionaire, Lisa Bent. I'm like, stop complimenting her. She's trying to tell you off.
Rita's like, listen, I'm not going to allow Eden to twist this around. And by twist it around, I mean report exactly what I said. Clearly and accurately.
And then Kyle is just coming down because now Rena's on a compliment tick and just trying to swim backwards, basically. And Kyle's like, okay, well, look, don't you think that maybe you said it just in that moment and don't remember?
Giving you a lifeline. To give like, it a go back, to call back to the metaphor from 30 seconds ago, who wants to be a millionaire? We're giving you a lifeline.
Yeah, she's like, are you sure you don't want to phone a friend?
We've eliminated two of the excuses for you. So there's only two options left, and one of them's correct.
And then it does work a little, because Rena's like, well, if I did say it, I didn't mean it in a hurtful way. If I said it, I'm not saying. And then so Vanderpump goes, oh, so you're saying 1,000% that you didn't say it. And she's like, no, I'm not saying that. I mean 1,000%. That's a huge percent. I'm not saying that. Huge. I mean, who am I to say that? I can't even count to 1,000. What the hell am I supposed to do with 1,000? I don't know.
What do you do in a situation like that? What do you do if you said some shit about someone and you've actually forgotten because in your mind it was inconsequential, whatever, and then for someone else remembers it and then brings it up and then like, you know, a month or two later someone throws it in your face and in that moment you don't remember, but then after thinking about it for a few minutes you start to remember it. What do you do to not sound like a total asshole who is lying?
She said it a million times. So she does remember saying it at some point because she's been saying it for years. It's not like it's anything new. I would have just said, I was talking to Eden about addiction because Eden is an addict and she's talking about addiction. And she brought up Kim because she knows Kim. And I was saying Kim has had a really bad problem where it looks, you know, Kyle is worried before like any family member that she's just going to turn up dead one day, you know, and it's a scary thing. And if Kim could have a friend, you know, all it takes is one relapse to end up dead.
Yeah.
And, Kyle would still be pissed, but at least it would sound like she was trying to be helpful instead of just lying about saying anything. But I think Rena was like, oh, shit, I've already had this conversation with Kyle, and I've already explained these feelings to Kyle, and I promised that I wouldn't be talking about it anymore, and I just got caught talking about it again.
Yeah. So eventually they're like, all right, then, well, come out of that little corner like a caged animal. So they all
goes, literally. Like, thanks, Eileen. Thanks for showing up, Eileen.
Aren't those cage animals so sad? I understand them.
When the caged bird refuses to sing, am I right, Rena? Have you remembered anything, darling? Get this woman some aspirin, Paco.
So they all sort of separate, and I just love Kyle goes over to the bar, and she just starts putting the powder on her face so angrily. She's like, I hate this shit. I hate this shit. I hate this shit. It's like, bitch, Kyle was like ready to come roaring back to life. She's like, control it. Control it, Kyle. She put her back in. Put her back into that little corner of her soul.
Own it. Own it, Rena. Own it. So Rena starts crying. She's like, I'm going outside. I'm not going to take this.
I want to go home. Eileen, of course, uses this as a great opportunity to remind everyone that Lisa Vanderpump is causing the shit here. She's the one who's causing the real problem, you know?
Yes, Eileen, of course, turns it right around. She's like, well, what does this have in common with everything else?
Yeah.
Ms. Vanderpump. But see, this is where Eileen falls down with her argument against Vanderpump. I think she's right, obviously, that Vanderpump manipulates stuff. Of course. And of course, just going back to last year for one second, I think she's right, you know, and always have, that Vanderpump was making rude digs at her about stealing a husband, you know. I get all that, but here's where she falls down. Vanderpump doesn't give a fuck. She'll say it. When she has a problem, she just goes right up and says, own it, own it. Yeah. Admit you're lying, darling. Like, she's not I mean, if she's manipulating it, okay, but she's not denying shit.
Yeah. I just think that it's a fool's errand to go after Lisa Vanderpump. It just is. So Rena's crying and she's like, I feel like I've been stabbed in the back. I never cry. Fuck you. I never cry. Wah, wah. What's the like opposite of wah, wah, wah? It's like wah, wah, wah. Wah, wah, wah. So
I can't believe I trusted her. I let Eden in too fast.
And then Dorit and Eileen are like, and like
Rin is sobbing. Reed and Eileen don't know what to do themselves. And the editor just cut to the mariachi band, like, da 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 da.
So Rin goes outside and she's crying and she's going, I just want to go home. I just want to go home. And she's like Dorothy without like glitter shoes. I'm like, you need to click your heels, Dorothy. Click them. And Dorit comes out to find her and she's like, Lisa, darling, why are you standing out here clicking your feet together by the toes? You're never going to get anywhere that way. But boy, George knows Dorothy. What an alcoholic. Have I told you about her? Talk about a Ziploc full of pills in your basket.
And while this is happening, Lisa Vanderpump and Kyle are doing some sort of tango dance and being shady the entire time. They're talking about, you know, Rinna and this whole situation. I just liked how they were doing they were just being so shady about Rinna while doing a tango.
Well, it was all Vanderpump, because Kyle's like trying not to talk about it, you can tell. And Vanderpump's like, oh, wasn't it wonderful to see someone own it? Oh, I guess she didn't, Kyle. She didn't own it, did she? And Kyle's like, okay, I'm not going to laugh at that. And she's like, oh, Kyle, I don't feel good, Kyle. I don't feel good. It's like she's falling down. Lisa is like drunk on power, right?
Yes.
Kyle's like, oh, you're drunk.
So Rinna is gonna leave, and Eileen's gonna go with her because Eileen's like, I gotta take a shit. So I like how Vanderpump is
I
like,
I want to be supportive of you and my pals. I'm not afraid to
like,
say it.
Why is Rinna crying? I'm like, because you just destroyed her. That's why.
So they go out to help her, and she's like, I just had such a good day with my daughter, and then now look what's happening. Like, this was an amazing day. And you know what? The good day with your daughter was only made possible by your fight with Yolanda in the first place somehow, because we already saw Tommy Hilfiger last year in that fashion show. Now your kid's in it. I feel like your bad juju leads to good juju. Is that weird? Maybe it's the red string around your wrist.
Maybe.
Something good will come of this.
Maybe. So Rinna leaves with Erica and with Eileen. And then Kyle starts doing a classic Kyle thing. She's like, well, I feel bad that she's crying. I'm like, no, you don't, Kyle. You do not feel bad at all. You are jumping up and down inside. You crushed her soul. And, you know, almost deservedly so based on
crushed
the situation.
Crushed her soul. So let's see. A lot of blah happens. So Erica and Rinna go back home. Okay, Erica ends up going back to you, and she's like,
Rinna, you okay, girl?
She's like, I don't know. Okay, Erica, I really don't know. I am wearing a lovely zebra print robe, which you can buy if you get on QVC at the right time with me. Do I still have the charm to sell this robe, Erica? Do I or not? She's like,
you do, Rinna.
But then Erica starts grilling her, and she's like,
I know how you feel hung out to dry, but girl, whatever happened, just tell the facts. Simmons, it ain't blah. That's a big word, and if you said them, you gotta say it. Big word. Come on, Lisa Rinna, come on.
Show me on the doll where you didn't touch you. Show me how the doll.
Show me on this doll where you called it an enabler. Go ahead.
I don't give a fuck.
But, I mean, Erica was also right about something where she says,
you know, Lisa's pretty good about owning shit. So if she did say it, I'm sure she'll own it soon enough.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, Rinna has said things that are way worse than this. And she always says, I own it, baby. I own it. So I am starting to think she really does not remember because, you know, the fact that she went up to Kim Richards and was like, what about your arrest, Kim? You know, I think she wouldn't shy away from saying, yeah, I think that Kyle's an enabler and Kim is close to death. I think she would own it. She didn't.
I think they just phrased the question wrong. Like, why does it have to be about saying one word? Why is it about enabler? Why isn't it about, were you still talking shit about Kim?
Right.
Why would you do that? Because then, that's a much easier answer, you know?
Plus, it is possible that Rinna really was blindsided. And I can imagine
that she is like a fuse box. She's like Tom and Ariana's apartment where you put on the microwave and the air conditioning and all the lights go off. So I think that when she gets blindsided, it's like putting a frozen burrito in the microwave and everything just like shuts down inside and she just can't remember anything.
Someone turned the air conditioner off. I can't think. Hi.
Yeah. But tomorrow she's going to get her recovery password, and she'll have access to her brain memory again, and then she'll remember.
Well, meanwhile, the party's over, and on the party bus, Vanderpump is celebrating like she just won $1 million, you know?
Yes.
And she's like, yeah, I've got an idea. Tonight we should do some husband swapping. And BK's so like, naughty. Who's the unlucky fucker that ends up with you? She's like, BK!
And PK's like, how many times have you fallen asleep waiting for her to take those big underwear off? I'm like, you are so obsessed with the underwear. you really need to move on from this talking point.
Well, you gotta love that Karen, no matter what, is like, never. It's never happened.
I'll knock your spark out. So,
come on in, Brian.
By the way, PK, were you Brian's talking to me or to a delivery dealer. Man? I couldn't tell.
Brian's here to pick up Bueller to take him for a walk, but I guess he forgot his key.
Oh. So we should also mention that PK has decided to adopt the Ken Todd look, and his shirt was also open down to the navel. And in a fun twist, he had like a Luann de Lesseps pendant around his neck, too.
Oh, Ken God. Todd, this was a Luann. Horrifying PK episode.
Anywho, it's the next morning now, and I love that they showed a shot of a parrot. And I was pretty much expecting Lisa Vanderpump just to go and, like, get it with a net and bring it back up to her house up in Los Angeles.
It's like, oh, I'm going to catch that parrot. Oh, wait again. It can fly. Never mind. Anybody have a broken parrot I can take home? The parrot doesn't need me enough, darling.
I love an animal that just repeats whatever I say. So loyal.
Own it. Own it!
She's just standing there at the parrot.
Own it! Come on, you can do it. Own it!
Last thing I need is a parrot that sounds like Rinna! So Vanderpump has this moment where she's speaking Spanish terribly. I guess she's reading off the back of a shampoo bottle.
Yeah, and she just wants orange juice. So she's hoping that it says, like, can I have some orange juice, please, Pedro? But it's like, dry hero and sugiato. Darling. She's cracking herself up. I mean, she's like waking up with afterglow. So funny. Yeah. And the last time we saw her was in the middle of the night when she got home. And she's like, PK says, I'll be wait. PK says, oh, we're going to get ready for bed. I'll see you in a moment. And she's like, I'll be in the bedroom on my all fours barking like a dog, darling.
Meanwhile, you know that somewhere down in Orange County, Heather Dubrow was nudging Terry, going, Terry, Alfredo's on TV, Terry.
Oh my God, Alfredo's find a way to multiplicity himself. So many Alfredos.
Multiplicity himself.
So Erica and Rinna, we already talked about that. So mm-hmm. Rinna now is in her bedroom talking to Harry on the phone. And she's like, Harry Hamlin, hi, this is Lisa Rinna. She's like, I walked into something and I had no clue about it and I need your sage advice.
He's like, actually, I'm learning how to turn nuclear energy into gas, refuel it through a car to turn it into water for poor people, just to see if it can be done.
Oh, you're so smart, Harry.
Yeah.
So she starts gossiping, tells him all the gossip, and he's like, well, hun, you know, you've never said to me that Kyle's an enabler. I was like, whoa, yes, she has. On TV, actually. And he's like, well, but you have said that she's an addict. You know, and what about Kyle? Just leave Kyle out of it. Like, what'd you say about her? Were you talking about her tight bras? Don't bring up the truth to these people, okay?
Yeah.
They don't like.
And then Harry is like, well, I think, you know, it's up to Kyle to acknowledge how much of an enabler she is. It's like, ooh, okay. That's not going to help the situation when Kyle sees that back.
Look, honey, if Kim wants to be a fall down drunk and Kyle wants to scrape her off the floor, that's their business. It has nothing to do with you. Stop talking about it.
Oh dear. The poo just gets smushier and smushier.
Yeah. And then she's like, oh, that's Harry. He always talks me off a cliff. I'm like, well, he needs to stop driving you to the top of him. Because you're about to fall the fuck off because of him. Don't listen to that advice. So now we go back to Beverly Hills to a poor rental house.
Oh, this tiny little house where Eden lives.
Yes. The Sassoon headquarters.
So Beverly comes by.
Yeah. Beverly is Eden's mom. And she comes by, and what I loved is that, you know, this general patter, and Eden's going to make her a calming drink, and she's like, and I've also gotten you a Poke Bowl. Have you ever had a Poke Bowl? And Beverly's like, I just did, in Columbus, Ohio. And Eden looked so betrayed, like, I can't believe you have robbed me of this opportunity of introducing you to Poke Bowl. And in Ohio,
Yeah, her mom is really shady. I like it. She's like, yes, actually, they even have them in Ohio. Anything else? Any other little tricks you'd like to pull out, dear? Oh, we just started talking again. Don't make me stop talking to you again, darling.
We learned that there was some sort of strange tag team relay race in sobriety with this family because Beverly was an alcoholic. And then she got sober, and then the sister died, so she became an alcoholic again. And then Eden became sober, and I was like, "This, they have like shifts of when they're going to be sober or an alcoholic." But right now they're both sober, which is good.
It's weird. All the women of my family, we all get our periods at the same time, but our alcoholism at different times. It's really odd how it works out. None of us can figure out the clock, but you know, we're all on the journey and the pathway to Poke Bowls. Like, shut up, Eden. And also, Eden's made everybody hate her mom because the first thing she ever said about her mom was that she ditched her and abandoned her and went to the Hamptons the minute she had Eden. And now she's like, hi, mom. And I can just imagine her mom being like, gross. Now that I've seen the look of her mom, I can imagine Beverly being like, that came out of me. Let's go to the Hamptons. Just leave it here.
It's the only way to deal with this. Let's go to our summer house.
Thing here. That thing has hamster eyes. Can we get rid of it? All right. We'll just put it in the crib. Let's go. Put a punchy cord around it.
Vidal. That's my Beverly in her Hampton summer house impersonation. Yeah, what I liked was that Eden started talking about this movie, Tough Turf, that her sister and Kim Richards were in with James Spader and Robert Downey Jr., which is a callback to our bonus episode because we were talking about the Brat Pack and how James Spader and Robert Downey Jr. are Brat Pack. We think that they're core Brat Packers, but they are technically not. But they were made high-profile Brat Packers because of this movie, Tough Turf.
Yeah, and she's like, do you remember when they would all hang out at the house? And Beverly's like, oh, yes, there was Jimmy Spader and that charming Robert Downey. And she goes, do you remember the women? And she's like, yes, Kim Richards. I was like, oh, girl. What did Kim Richards do? You know, she was like stealing the remote control and hiding it behind a planter or some shit.
Yeah, she did not like Kim.
It was a time before security cameras, but I'm sure that she took my whisk. I'm sure she did it.
She never looked good, and as we know, the family motto is, if she doesn't look good, we don't look good, and I do not like not looking good.
That's why I left every time she came over. Do you think she's the one who stole the piano? Tell me the truth, Eden. But I like that nobody has a good memory of Kim, because even when Eden brought up Kim, she's like, yeah, I know her. You know, there was Robert and James and Kim. Kim was there, too.
So Eden is venting about the whole situation. Beverly's like, just don't get involved. She's like, yeah, but it's like, you know, I see Kyle and Kim, and it's like Eden and sister of Eden. And the mom's like, yeah, except you and your sister were teenagers, and Kyle and Kim are grown women, and it's totally different, so don't get involved.
Yeah, she's like, just zip it. Eden goes, why does it have to get me so deep? And she goes, because you're your father's daughter. Well, this was fun, honey. And this was great. I should go. I mean, you're draining me. This is draining me. This is so my mom. Like, it was good talking to you, but wow, that was draining.
I'm going to go get some better pokey.
And Eden goes, well, I love you. And she goes, oh, well, that's nice. I love you too. baby girl. And then she hugs her and she goes, oh God, one of those hugs. Oh God, these are one of those, stop it, let me go.
My pokey is rotting as we speak. It has to be eaten when it's cold, Eden, and then we've been hugging for 10 minutes.
Let me go. So funny. Wow. So back in Mexico, who says let's call Peggy? Oh, Dorit. PK. She's like, let's go, Peggy, the milkmaid nurse.
Peggy, are you wearing any underwear today? Oh, you're so tricky, Peggy. Ooh.
And Peggy's so basically,
like, I thought I told you not to call here again. Why are you calling here again? You think I don't got enough to do raising the entire brood into a babies?
And basically, this is what the phone call sounds like because Reed's like, she's like, could you put on the babies, please? And then this was your. And then Dorit's like, oh! I'm like, it was just static.
Peggy's like, don't worry. The minute you left the house, he started calling me mommy. And she's like, he said mama. He said a mama. It's like, yes, to me, you stupid woman.
Click. And Dorit starts doing this thing of, it's so hard. It's so ever so hard to leave the children behind. Every day apart from this day that my heart breaks even further. I'm like, I don't feel bad for you that you left your kids to go to paradise. No. If you felt so bad, you would have stayed. You're literally, you know, jet skiing and going on a yacht. And I'm supposed to feel bad for you because you're away from your kid? No.
She doesn't even know how to feel things. She learns it from movies. She's like, it feels like someone's sticking the hand in my chest and squeezing my heart out. I'm like, you got that from Indiana Jones. I don't even feel that way.
I just want to put my baby under my face and then have the baby stuck to my face for about a week or so. And then all of a sudden I'll feel better, but then my baby will just pop out of my stomach with love.
You're just watching Alien.
I love my baby so much that sometimes I think about my baby and I just see a giant version of my baby walking through New York City terrorizing everyone.
That's Ghostbusters, and your baby is not the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Oh, I love my baby so much, this feels like being in detention on a Saturday when I should be out playing with my friends.
That's the Breakfast Club.
My baby's so wonderful that we like to just get into a plane together and just go flying all around. But God, if things get into trouble here, my baby has to remember, be careful when you eject.
That's just Top Gun.
Or the bucket list.
Or the bucket like. List. It's both of them, actually.
My baby's on a harbor to the danger zone.
I feel like my baby can't stop riding a bus past 20 miles an hour. Everyone on board will die. That's stupid. I love that Peggy is like, yeah, well, everyone's fine. They're clean. They got food in the belly. And they don't have poo-poo in the pan. So anything else?
I'm just going to work away my grief by going on a yacht.
Hopefully, while I'm gone, poor little Phoenix can be kissed by a frog and turn into a princess instead of a squishy-headed little monster.
So steep in beauty.
Tell Phoenix that if Phoenix and Jagger want to get on the magic carpet, they can.
That's Aladdin.
Oh.
All right, well, I've got to go. My best friend's dying of cancer. I've got to tell her she was the wind beneath my wings.
Tell Jack I hope to see her stand-up set next time.
That was just that movie with Sally Field and Tom Hanks.
Just one last question before I go. Who's Carl Sose?
Is that a new playmate of Jagger?
So stupid. Okay, so at breakfast, Eileen comes down and keeps the cheer going. She's like, well, I shit out a stream of condos this morning, and I'm still feeling in pain. So I'm like, okay, great. Well, thanks for coming to breakfast.
Yeah. And Lisa Vanderpump has to leave. She's like, I'm going to speak at Congress. I was like, is that a new gay club?
Ulin.
I just like how
knowing
she
her
says.
Organizers it is, it'll probably be the wrong damn state.
I just like that she says she has to speak at Congress.
We've got to stop the Yulin Dog Meat Festival in China. Those dogs are almost as tortured as we are, pretending Rinna didn't say things that she obviously said. Only Rinna! So she's getting ready to go, and Brenna's come down, kissing every, you know, deciding to just let it pass or whatever. And she goes,
"Oh, Brenna, goodbye, old darling. Now, I hope that you just learn something from this and move on, darling."
Yeah.
Great, great advice. Thank you, Lisa Vanderpump.
Thank you, babe.
You are right.
So then they all go off to the yacht, and this is when they're driving. This is when Erica sees the iguana, and she's like, "Is it iguana?" She's like, "It's like Jurassic Park." At which point, you know, Dorit's like, "Oh, that's what I always say about Jagger. I always imagine my love for Jagger coming at him as if he were trapped in a little car, and I was coming to go put my pretty little face on the windshield and terrify the joy out of his face." I don't know what I'm saying. I'm sorry.
I liked it anyway, because that was kind of Jurassic Park. She's like, "Oh, you found a Gila monster. Good for you, Erica." And Erica's like,
"Well, whenever we go on safari, they say I'm the best spotter. That's what everyone says. I can spot anything."
And PK's like, "Can you spot snakes?" With his stupid half misogynist and half woman gossip.
I bet you couldn't spot a pair of panties, though. Pretty little puss.
I like that Erica never gets offended by him, though. She knows how to deal with some fat loser who's always trying to get into your pants. I mean, she's done it her whole damn life. But she's like, he's like, "Can you spot snakes?" And she's like,
"That's my specialty."
And then Erica's like, "This is what Mexico's about, you know? Swimming, sun, fun, laughs, a margarita or two."
I was like, "Well, I think that's what Mexico's about for rich white people." It's also about, like, poverty and drug cartels and...
I mean, it's so wonderful, and all the fun and swimming and margaritas. It's like... they almost should, like, build a wall to keep everyone inside and just keep the party going. Why would everyone leave?
Oh. So Rinna and Eileen go to the back of the boat. And Rinna's like, "If anyone needs a drink, it's me. That was so stressful. Like, I need a drink." And PK's like, "You'll be fine, honey. Stop letting random strangers give you advice." Yeah. I'm like, "Excuse me, you are the random stranger giving her advice. Back away, man boobs."
Well, I liked when, so Rinna's venting to Eileen, and she's like, "You know, I just don't feel seen or heard. You know, the worst part is, I don't understand where this all came from." I'm like, it came from you. It literally came from you. And also, now you know what it felt like when Vanderpump was in Dubai, and you came for her, and she's like, "What?" You know?
That never happened. I don't remember that. What's Dubai?
So then Rinna and Eileen were talking about how happy Vanderpump must have been to bust Rinna. It's like, yep, pretty much. Pretty much.
Yeah. She's like,
"Oh, she's loving this. Oh, rent is going down. Ooh, great."
I'm like, yep, that was pretty much.
And then meanwhile,
she did it in a better dress, and she was more hilarious doing it. But yeah, pretty much.
And then on the other end of the boat, PK is trying to start shit. He's like, "Have you noticed that Eileen and Rinna tend to exclude themselves? Have you noticed that?" And Erica's like,
"Well, they're friends. And, you know, they're just talking."
And it's also like, they aren't excluding themselves. They're just sitting in the best seat on the yacht. That's like the prime place. That's why there are chaise lounges there.
I'm sure this isn't the first time that PK's taken off his shirt and like 80% of the women move. He probably says that at every yacht party. He's like, what'd I do? Put your shirt on.
So then PK and Dorit go and find Rinna, and then they give the unsolicited advice as usual. And then it's like, fun times.
"You'll recover well. You'll recover well." This was funny to me, because he comes back. Erica's like, "I'm going to go see them." And Eileen's like, "Well, I'm going to go eat. I guess I'm not going to talk about my feelings on this trip. So I'm going to go find a taco." And PK tells Rinna, he's like, "Oh, Rinna, I've got to tell you, you'll recover well." And she goes, "Huh? That's very nice, PK. That's very nice of you. Thank you. That's so lovely of you. Thank you. Thank you, PK." I don't know why that made me laugh so hard. But he's such an asshole. She's always talking to him like she would talk to a 5-year-old.
"Good for you, PK. Wow, that was polite. Welcome."
Rinna. Yeah, so then Rinna. They all jump into the Osh. And Dorit originally did not want to jump into the ocean, but then PK's like, "I'll buy you a bacon." I'm like, Are you really going to spend, what is it, $10,000 just to have your wife jump in the water, please?
Well, he's saving up for another bankruptcy. Yeah. Because his first bankruptcy was in London, I believe. So he can still have an American bankruptcy.
Oh, good.
And Barclays is coming after him for $5 million so far. So I think he's putting as much as he can on that Amex before they come for him. He's like, don't wonder. Don't worry, darling. It's under the shelter. It's under the bankruptcy shelter. Buy it now. Just make sure it'll last a few years, darling. It's the last one you're getting for a while. But this was a big moment in history because I believe this is the first Dorit GIF I ever made. Which says something about Dorit's abilities on this show.
Exciting.
She's learning when she, in her diary room session, when she's like, and that's how you get a Birkin! And then winks.
And get away with murder.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so Kyle and Dorit stay on the boat, blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah. So basically, it's just that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it ends with them on the boat, and Rinna's trying to ingratiate herself again or whatever, and they're like, let's party, let's dance, and she goes, if you put on Painkiller, I'll get on the table to dance. And Kyle's like, that's the only song we're licensed to play, so hit sure. it. So they play it. Lisa not only does a dance on the table, opening her legs and putting her cornhole in everybody's face, but she actually knows the move, and they show that by intercutting it with Erica's actual video, and Lisa Rinna has learned the dance.
Yeah, she probably, you know, practiced ahead of time in anticipation of pulling this move on this Mexico trip. She's like, well, this trip has gone to shit for me, but at the very least, I'm going to do this dance. Wah, wah, wah.
Or she just opened her leg a lot and grabbed her vagina a lot, and it just fit the what Erica already has. I mean, Erica could be performing in Cats, and it would be the same moves.
Yeah, Erica was happy.
Hitting people in the audience and shit.
Erica was like,
yes, bitch, I know you had it in you. See, I knew you wanted to do it. Everything. Everything, bitch.
So
that brings us to the end of another beautiful
Real Housewives of Beverly Hills episode. And before we sign off for today, it is Wednesday. So, of course, it's Wednesday. That means it's time for a listener spotlight.
Spotlight.
As performed by Michael McDonald. So for those of you who are new, Listener Spotlight is when shine the spotlight on one of our listeners. I guess it's pretty obvious. If this is something you're interested in, you can go to patreon.com/watchforcrappins. You can sign up there for the Listener Spotlight level, which gives you access to the mailbag and the monthly hangout, which, I guess that should be next week, and then also bonus episodes. So this week, very special listener spotlight. We mention this woman nearly every single episode, it feels like. It is one of our premium sponsors, one of the trio that we have. They're almost like a little girl group. Madonna Hines with a sexy J.
Madge!
Madge, here is a little bit about Madonna.
Hey, Benjamin and Ronnie and everyone at Watch What Crappens. It's Madonna here from Australia. Madge with the sexy J down under. It's 3:28 a.m. My circadian rhythm is totally thrown out. I have one day off today and back really, really early Sunday morning. Just saying a little bit about myself. I work in emergency shift work, single mother of a child with special needs. I've been listening to Watch What Crappens pretty much from the very beginning. I love Ben and Ronnie's wicked sense of humour. I love that they can make fun of anything and it's not politically correct. Pretty much like our dark senses of humour that we need to have when we deal with life and death. Originally, I was going to come on here and be all sunshine and lollipops and whatnot and try and be funny, but today we buried a friend from work. He took his own life and I don't know how to feel about that, but everyone's been coming to me. You know, I'm the one that likes to crack a joke at work and trying to tell everyone, playing mother hen, you know. Everything's going to be okay. I'm not sure it is. It's a bit of a dark world at the moment. And that's why we need people like Ben and Ronnie. There's nothing better than the gift of laughter and the gift of comedy. We really need it in these uncertain times at the moment. Yeah, I love Bravo. The absurdity of it all is quite theatrical, and the stupidity of Bravo. sometimes I'm so exhausted I fall asleep listening to Watch What Crappens podcast, and I find I wake myself laughing in my sleep. I love that. But keep it up, guys. And I love the Watch What Crappens fans too. I love reading your comments. You're good people. You're intelligent people. And that's pretty hard to find these days. Love you guys. I'm going to end it now. I think I've gone over the 2 minutes. Okay. See you. Bye.
Oh, well, Madonna, thank you so much for that. I'm so sorry to hear about your friend. And we're happy that we can at least provide some laughter during what you guys are going through.
Yeah, oh my God, that's so sad. Hugs to you, babe.
Hugs.
A lot of people say they listen to this while they go to sleep, which I don't know how to take that.
Yeah.
We hear that a lot.
We do hear that a lot.
I think it just becomes like really gay white noise after a while. Like, did they really just talk about Beverly Hills a half an hour longer than the show actually lasted?
Yes, yes, they did. Well, Madonna, sorry to hear about that. Glad we could bring some light into your life. Thanks, everyone, for listening this week. And we'll be back tomorrow with the Marriage Medicine season finale and Real Housewives of Atlanta. And we'll talk to you then. So, bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody. Love you, Madge.
Bye. Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to the podcast today. We really appreciate the love and support you guys show us. If you have a minute, go to iTunes and leave a review. And if you don't want to do that, maybe next time you're talking to your friends about Bravo, you mention the podcast. Spreading the word really helps us grow, and it means the world to us. Also, check us out on Instagram and at Twitter. On Instagram, we're at Watch What Crappens. On Twitter, we're at What Crappens. You can also check out me and Ronnie on both platforms. Ronnie is at Ronnie Karam on both Instagram and Twitter, and I'm at B-Side Blog on Instagram and Twitter. Really, thank you guys so much. We really mean it. We appreciate the support. And even if you do none of those things, we're just happy you're listening. Thanks.